reigns the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb.
Church, give the Lord. He deserves the praise. Hallelujah to you, God. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Name above all names. Again, Lord, let's hear the words that, Father, you have given to us. There is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. There is only one King and one Lord, and He is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Lord God, may you just fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. But as Jesus said, you give us the Spirit, so the Spirit will help us remember what Jesus said, our Savior, that He loves us, He cares for us, He wants the best. But again, Lord, remind us, there is really not just about us. For God, you are the Creator, and we serve at your pleasure, not ours. But you reached out and reveal yourself to us when you gave us your Son. Father, what is worth more than Jesus that the world can give? And I pray, Lord, touch each and every one of our minds and say, there's nothing, nothing compares to the Savior. And Lord, I pray for we, the church, Lord, to grab a hold of Jesus and understand and take heart. We have all that we need in Him. And He will provide what He thinks is best. And He will provide in the midst of our struggles and trials. Lord, let us lean on the Savior, your Son, our Lord. And Father, we give you praise day in, day out. We can sing the songs we sing. Sing it in our cars. Let the people who are driving see us going crazy praising God. And Father, you're worthy of praise. And not just on a Sunday, but every day. Let us be crazy for Jesus. Because He's worth everything. He gave us His life that we might be right with you and have eternal life forever. Thank you, God, for revealing your love through your Son. Thank you, Jesus, showing us and leading us the example what love is. That love leads to obedience. Obedience cannot happen without love. It is the motivation that Jesus, why you went to the cross. And it's the motivation of we, the church, and those who believe in you, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow. That's, I pray, that's worth every bit of our lives. Not our way, but your way, oh God, forever and ever, that we can praise and glorify you all the days of our lives. Again, Lord, just thank you. I pray we honor you continuously this week. May you get all the glory, honor, and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Being crazy for Jesus. You can say that we should be fanatical, be fans of Jesus. And I just want to thank the men for showing up today. Speaking about being fanatical, you know, sometimes you get crazy for the things of this world, and you know, there's a lot of sports going on right now. This time of year, you got the World Series coming up. baseball, basketball season just started, and football's still going on. So, man, thank you for being here, choosing to worship God, amen, in this body. I want to welcome, if this is your first time here today, we just thank you so much for being with us. You truly honor us with your presence. And, you know, there's a way to get connected with us. There's a yellow connect card that was in your bulletin. And if you could just fill that out as much as you feel comfortable. And at the end of the service, just drop it in the offering bowl. Or hang around for our hospitality. The coffee bar will be open. And that's a wonderful time of fellowship after church, too. Short on announcements today. The main one is going to be happening this Saturday, is the Two Third World Network Fun Run. So Grace is heading that up, and it requires runners and walkers, and you folks will be meeting here at campus at 5 o'clock and heading your way out to Kihei's Kalepolepo Park, which is about 10 miles. And there is a Mercy Mile option. It's actually a Mercy 5-mile option, yeah, because it's halfway. So what that is, that you get shuttled halfway, and then you can either walk or run the rest of the way. So that's, we really need some registration forms to be turned in as soon as possible. And the deadline is tomorrow. If you can do it today, that would be much appreciated. And seek Grace for any of the information that you need for the fun run. You know, in that day also, again, work on the Baptistry Amphitheater continues with Joseph and his Eagle Project. So that will be happening also this Saturday. So for those of you who are interested or volunteering to help Joseph out with that project and help the church out, please see Joseph after church for more details. Joseph Shum. We all know Joseph, so he has more information for this Saturday's work day for that, too. I also have a special announcement that has just brought to my attention this morning, and it came from home, and that's because it's my daughter. So I want to call her up, and she has something to share with the church.
Good morning, Valley Isle Fellowship. It's so nice to see familiar faces. For those who don't know me, my name is Kaya Nikiaha. And for the last 3 months, I have been attending UH Manoa on Oahu. So maybe that's why you haven't been seeing me around lately. And I have been so blessed to be able to stay at the BCM dorms, or the Baptist Collegiate Ministry dorms. And it's right next to the HPBC Center. And it's been amazing to see how God has been using all the people there, us as students as well, to reach the college students on campus at UH Manoa, at KCC, at Windward Community College even. And right now, what we're doing is we are holding a fundraiser specifically to support student missions over the summer. So last summer, a group of students were able to travel all the way to Portugal and to speak to communities there, meet with other missionaries there who have planted churches. And it's also a competition between the boys and girls. So if you feel led to, I would really appreciate, we would all really appreciate any monetary donation that you can give, whether it's the change in your pocket, a cash or check, whatever. And unfortunately, because I'm leaving to Oahu tonight, this will be the one and only day for you to be able to give. So after service, I will be in the back, and I would love to talk to you about what's going on Oahu. And just to talk story. So thank you.
You know, your kids always deep digging into your pockets, yeah? Never ending, yeah? Some of us. Okay, one last announcement I want Stefan to come up for. It's you saw the big banner down at the entrance, and he has all the details for what's coming up on next Tuesday.
Good morning, family. As you see, down in the driveway, we have our trunk or treat banner out there. And what we're doing is the children's ministry is offering an alternative to Halloween. You know, it's dangerous taking your kids out. You don't know what you're getting from people. They give you, you know, you hear razor blades in the candy bars and this and that and that and this. But we're offering an alternative, and we're theming it Friendly Monsters. Well, most people, I get the response, I never seen a friendly monster. Well, you know, plenty friendly monsters. Yeah, like all the Sesame Street monsters are friendly. The Monsters, Inc. monsters are friendly. And most friendly monsters are smiling, so you can make a monster and smiling, hey, that's friendly. But we're looking for people to open their trunks. We're going to park cars out here. People are going to open their trunks in case you don't know what trunk or treat is. Most of you guys have a smartphone. Google trunk or treat. And you're going to get some ideas. And we're going to open our trunks, and we're going to share not only candy with the community, but we're going to share the love of Jesus Christ. Each child that comes will walk away with a tract, a sticker, times, and hopefully a word from our church family that Jesus loves them. We are in need of trunks. People that want to open their trunk, you know, Google it. Get some ideas from that. We have a sign-up sheet in the back. It's October 31st, Tuesday night, 6 to 8. If you are going to participate, we ask that you come maybe 5:15 or so we can set up. We are also in need of security because there's a big, black, dark area around here at night. We cannot afford to lose any children. Seriously. We lose one, and it's not good. So we need help. Come see me. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have movies. We're going to have all kind of goodies for adults, a great time for fellowship, a great time to open our hearts to the community. So come join us Halloween night, 6 to 8. If you're going to participate, come a little bit early. Sign up sheet in the back or come talk to me. Thank you. Now let's pray to open up our service. Father in heaven, Lord God, we are just so privileged and pleased that you would have us available to come tonight, today to worship you and to love you. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open to the message that the pastor brings. We ask that you anoint him and bless him, Lord, that he may speak fluently through your spirit to our open hearts. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Hi, my name is Herman Finch, and I was born and raised in Zimbabwe. And growing up in Zimbabwe, life was really tough for us in terms of getting basic things, and sometimes we had to beg for food. But I thank the Lord that at school, in my sixth grade, I had a teacher who really cared about me, so she managed to write down the names of the needy children at the school. We were shocked that one day she told us that on a weekend we were supposed to go and receive gifts. It was just an amazing feeling to hear that there were people who were willing to give to me, even though they didn't know me. Before I received my gift, I was so anxious to see what was in the box because I had never received a gift before in my whole life. So when I opened my gift, there were so many things in it. I remember there were school supplies in it, pencils, pens. But the most important thing to me was the book, which was a novel of the stories that I really love to read. I couldn't put the book down because I would just keep on reading it all over and over again. Through the seed of love that was planted in my heart by Operation Christmas Child at the age of 10. Later on, when I was 12, I gave my life to the Lord and I became a faithful follower of Him. I would like to say thank you so much to all those people who are involved in Operation Christmas Child, whether you are volunteering or you are packing a shoebox or you are just giving your time in different ways or giving resources. Thank you for making a difference in my life and also in the life of many people in Africa and all over the world. May God bless you.
It's good to see all of you this morning. I want to thank all of those who helped yesterday. Our church hosted the Maui County Baptist Association meeting, and there was quite a spread of desserts that was given yesterday, and everybody marveled at it, and they went home. I don't think they could have worked in the afternoon after that, because I think they would have fallen asleep. But thank you for all of those who contributed to that. Thank you for those who set up and clean up. You guys were awesome, so thank you so much. This morning, we're going to continue our study through the book of Philippians. And I ask that you turn to the second chapter of Philippians as we get started. I warn you that you're going to have to really follow closely, because I'm going to kind of run. I have four different videos that I want to show you, so I'm going to really run with this, okay? We're looking at servants of Jesus. And in a couple of weeks, the first Sunday in November, it is going to be the International Day of Prayer for persecuted Christians across the world. And I'd like for us to start that emphasis today, especially with this message, because servants of Jesus, I look at the persecuted Christians all across the world as being faithful servants till the end. And so I want to show you a video of how pervasive persecution across the world is. And this is going to highlight five countries for you, but Open Doors has a list of 50 countries that are pretty dangerous for Christians. Clarice?
Millions of Christians worldwide are persecuted because of their faith. Every year, Open Doors publishes the World Watch List to focus the world's attention on the 50 countries where Christians face the greatest persecution. Here are the top five countries on the list, the most dangerous places on earth to be a Christian.
Number 5, Sudan. The government is determined that Sudan should become a fully Islamic country. Leaving Islam is punishable by death. In the north of the country, the government have imprisoned pastors and demolished churches, while in the south they are waging a war against the non-Arab, mostly Christian people. At least 5 Sudanese Christians were killed and 12 were imprisoned for their faith in 2016.
Number 4, Pakistan. Christians faced more violence in Pakistan in 2016 than anywhere else in the world. Among the outrages, a bomb attack at Easter in Lahore killed at least 69 Christians. But the violence is ongoing. An estimated 700 Christian women and girls are abducted every year. The blasphemy laws are often used against Christians. If you are accused of having insulted Islam in any way, your life is in danger.
Number 3, Afghanistan. All Afghan believers are secret converts from Islam. Anyone who dares to leave Islam faces arrest and may even be killed by family members. The result is that there is no visible church. Only God knows how many secret believers there are in Afghanistan.
Number 2, Somalia. If you are even suspected of being a Christian in Somalia, you could be murdered on the spot. At least 12 secret Christians were killed last year. Christians face violence at the hands of the militant Islamist group Al-Shabaab, but also from family and local clan leaders.
Number 1, North Korea. North Korea is number 1 on the World Watch List, as it has been every year since 2002. To follow Jesus in this country is to risk imprisonment, torture, and death. The regime considers Christians enemies of the state. Tens of thousands of Christians are incarcerated in horrific labour camps, while thousands more keep their faith a complete secret, often even from their own family. Even so, underground churches are growing, and in secret, the gospel is spreading.
Despite all this, the persecuted church is not merely surviving. It is living, growing, and continuing to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But as persecution increases, persecuted believers need the support of their family, the body of Christ, to help them stand firm in their faith. Today, your voice, your prayers, your gifts are more vital than ever before.
That last part said the persecuted church is not only surviving, but it's thriving. Dear people, these are faithful servants of the Lord to the end. And we really need to be praying for them. This morning, this passage of scripture that we're looking at in 1 Timothy is going to highlight two different servants of the Lord. But as we begin, I'm thinking in your minds, as if I can be a mind reader, which I'm not, but if I could read your mind, I bet many of you would be thinking, oh man, that's fine for those special people. But what? I'm not like that. Dear people, you can be a servant of the Lord simply because the Lord calls you. And if you're a Christian, the Lord calls you to his love and to his service. Now, I want you to watch Tom. He serves the Lord even through all the difficulties that he faces. Clarice.
Morning, Tom.
Morning. My name's Tom Hardwick, and I'm from Chesterfield in England.
You sleep well?
I have a condition called Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and that is a progressive muscle wasting disease, and generally leads to death by late teens or early 20s.
I gave up full-time employment back in 2002 to be his full-time carer. We didn't know how things would unfold, and so I wanted to spend as much time with him as I could.
When I thought about a way that I could serve, the first thing I thought of was, oh, Johnny and Friends, what do they have? When I went onto the website and saw the Cause for Life internship, I thought to myself, oh my goodness. This is so me.
Part of this internship is relationships with people with disabilities.
When I first saw Tom, I didn't know exactly how I was going to relate to him. And it's taken a little while to get past the wheelchair and to get past the things that he can't do. As we've spent more time together, it's been really amazing to get to know his character.
I'm feeling really excited. I'm feeling a bit nervous. I want it to all go well. But it's worth sitting in the rain to wait for him. It's freezing. Looking forward to the week. I've been really looking forward to meeting you.
It's so fun to see how they connect, and they're already really good friends.
He's a funny one, quite cheeky. We did a Bible study together. You've got to expect that you can receive from them and not just that they're going to get a benefit from you. And that was a big lesson for me.
There wasn't a perfect time in his life for him to come, but God made a time, and Tom listened, and he came quickly to come do this work. Once he got the opportunity and the platform to tell his story, all of the interns opened up. The next thing you know, they're sitting with him at lunch. They're helping him eat. They're reaching out to him on a different level. And Tom didn't change. Tom's the same person that he was. It was the interns' hearts that were changed once they heard his story.
We better tell everybody.
That great accent comes from where?
The highlight of my internship has to be my radio interview with Johnny. That really impacted me, and I'm just so glad to have had that opportunity.
I think one of the most important things that's being spread here at Family Retreat is love, compassion, and hope. And these Cause for Life interns are, you know, helping the parents and giving them that hope that people care and that God sent us all here for a reason.
Through this internship, I've learned a lot more about suffering and what we're called to do as Christians.
Everybody has their own gifts and talents that the Lord has given. And every person deserves to be able to follow their dreams and serve the Lord if they're willing.
I'm glad to meet lots of people like myself who have disability and to be able to show them, you know what, Nothing's impossible for God.
I hope you picked up on the point that Tom was not one of the clients that went to the camp. He was one of the interns. He was serving. And you'd think, how can somebody like that serve the Lord? You know what? God doesn't call us to be eloquent. He doesn't call us to be skillful. You can be very clumsy like me. And he doesn't call us to be excellent in all that we do. All he asks us of us is to be obedient to him. And if Tom can do it, I think all of us can. So let's look at this passage of Scripture and see two very capable servants, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And first of all, in Timothy, verse 19, if the Lord is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. Skip on down to verse 22. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to you. That last couple of verses, he hopes to send Timothy as soon as he finds out what's happening to him. Paul is in prison, and he's not quite sure what's going to happen to him, whether he's going to be executed, whether he's going to be sent someplace else. He's not quite sure, but as soon as he can find out, then he wants to send Timothy. Okay, so Paul is in a precarious situation himself, but Timothy is the one that Paul is discipling. Okay, so let's look particularly at Timothy. You find that Timothy brings joy. You know what? A servant of Christ brings joy. Okay, let me say that again. A servant of Christ brings joy. I am probably not a servant of Christ because you guys are all frowning. Servant of Christ brings joy. Look at who he brings joy to. First of all, to the Philippians, the one who Paul is writing to. Timothy's life brings joy to the Philippians. And it appears that he has not met the Philippians before, but they hear about Timothy's love and service to the Lord through Paul. And that brings joy to them. Timothy also brings joy to Paul, the one who's discipling him. Because you know what is happening in Paul's life? He's seeing fruit in Timothy's life. It's not all in vain. As he helps Timothy to grow in his love and his faith in Jesus, he sees Timothy responding in love and in joy and in faithfulness. So by a servant just simply being obedient to the Lord, he or she can and will bring joy. Can and will bring joy. And then, this is really important, Timothy brings joy to the Lord. Let me tell you, dear people, the number one desire of a servant of the Lord is not to fulfill your own needs, your own desires. The number one desire of a servant of the Lord should be to bring joy to Jesus Christ. That should be a consuming thought, a consuming drive that I want to bring joy to the Lord. Timothy is an example of one who's doing that. And then Timothy proved himself by preaching, by serving, and by sacrificing. These are the things that he was called to do. Let me ask you a question. The first video I showed you, of Tom. What do you think he was proving himself in? Because he was a servant of the Lord, right? Tom brought joy to the people that were in Johnny Erickson Tata's ministry there. You saw that where it said that once he began to share his story with the other interns, it took their relationship, the intern's relationship, to a different level. He was bringing joy to those gathered there. He must have been bringing joy to his father, because his father was his full-time caretaker, not knowing how long he was going to actually live. They said the lifespan of somebody like this is into their early 20s. Tom was already into his mid-20s. So not sure how long he's going to have, but he's going to live the rest of it for the Lord, right? And do you think he was bringing joy to the Lord? Yeah. So what did he prove himself in? Did he prove himself in preaching? Did he prove himself in service? Did he prove himself in sacrifice? What do you think? I think yes. He was preaching with his life and with his voice. He would speak whenever he could. He certainly was serving. Man, he was serving in vital ways. The encouragement to that boy that almost ate that fish must have been tremendous. And wasn't it a sacrifice for him? You remember they said that we couldn't find a good time for him to come. Every time they picked, it seemed, no, this is not a good time. But they picked a time and he came quickly. He sacrificed. He came all the way from England. He proved himself in many other ways. But here is a man who is bound to a wheelchair. Probably had to be fed because his teeth had to be brushed by his father. Couldn't hardly do anything for himself, but yet he could serve the Lord. Timothy was setting an example. This guy, Tom, sets an example. And so no matter how capable you may be in the eyes of the world, or how incapable you may be in the eyes of the Lord, God can use you. Now, very capable to incapable and everything in between. Do you guys qualify in that area? From very capable to incapable and everything in between? You do? Then not this way, because you're saying, yes, Lord, I'll be a servant. No, I cannot coerce you to do that. I want to convince you to do that. Okay. The second person, not only Timothy, but it's Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Look at verse 25. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you. And he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. That kind of says to me he was already in sorrow, had reason to sorrow. And God was gracious in not letting in Epaphroditus die, so that he had one sorrow upon another. And then it goes on. Verse 28, so I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him with Christian love and great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. You know, this passage of scripture just moves my heart, because the Philippians couldn't be there to minister to Paul in his need. So they send Epaphroditus. Kiami, your group is raising money to be missionaries, to go do what we cannot do. Man, that's exciting to see someone sent. Yeah? That's who Epaphroditus was, someone who was sent. And we find him to be faithful. He's doing what God has called him to. In fact, he has proven himself to be a fellow co-worker and soldier and a true brother. A fellow co-worker and soldier and a true brother. You know, a soldier to me is one who goes into an area of conflict. He understands that he may be losing his life when he goes into battle. But he is prepared to do what is necessary. Epaphroditus was such a man. Prepared for the battle, willing to make the sacrifice. He was a co-worker of Paul's. He was willing to do what Paul did. He was willing to follow him. And then it says that he was a true brother. You know, I've not been in the military. I know that several of you have been. I understand that when the bullets are flying, politicians don't matter to the guy on the field. The political doctrine, the political stance of people don't really matter. What really matters is the guy that's right next to you. And you fight for the guy that's next to you. Dear people, we fight in the battle that Christ has placed before us for those who are next to us and for the glory of our Lord. Epaphroditus had proven himself to be a true brother. He was a part of the family. And you know, dear people, that says an awful lot for Epaphroditus. He was sent there to be a help to Paul. Sometimes people are sent to be a help, and they're not a help. They're a problem. You ever had people like that? They're supposed to come and help you, but rather than helping, they're more of a problem. You wish they weren't even there. Not so with Epaphroditus. He was a great help to Paul. He was really being used of the Lord, and so much so that his service, he suffered for his service, and that's C. He suffered to the point where he almost died. Now, Paul says he thanks God for not letting Epaphroditus die, because then he would have been faced with one suffering after another. So Epaphroditus was someone valuable to Paul. He was a co-worker. He worked alongside of him. You know, some of you, Shanley said, that are watching all kinds of athletics. And, you know, I know that in football, in basketball, in volleyball, in many of these sports, the more you work in union with your co-players, the better your team can do. In football, I know that if each person is only looking out for themselves, the team probably won't do too good. But if they work in a cohesive unit, they can do well. Dear people, the same is true in the work of the Lord. If we all just do what the Lord tells us to do, he can use us for his glory. Tom couldn't do a whole lot, but he did what God wanted him to do, and he was a useful part of the ministry there. So was Epaphroditus. He suffered to the point where he almost died. And then the Philippians were praying. Paul was praying that his return would bring comfort and joy to those who sent him. Okay. Paul is saying, I really appreciate what you've done. I really appreciate you. And therefore, in sending Epaphroditus back to you, I pray that he brings you comfort and joy. Are you beginning to get in your mind what a servant of the Lord does and the impact that a servant of the Lord can have? And you can be well qualified to do any kind of work, or you can be ill qualified to do the work. But if you just love and be obedient to the Lord, He can use you for His glory. Now, we're going to switch gears here. We're talking about two servants who Paul was blessed with. And if Paul was blessed with, I believe the Lord was blessed with. But then there is one verse where he says, well, these guys weren't too good. You know, the problem is that sometimes we become so self-centered and selfish that we become useless to God. I want to show you a short video that might be something you can apply to your own life, Clarice.
What's the deal?
What?
I told you 3 days ago to clean your room.
I know.
Well, I'm glad you know. It's a mess.
I memorized what you said.
What do you mean you memorized what I said?
Every word.
Wait, you memorized that I told you to clean your room?
Yes. And I learned how to say it in Spanish and in Hebrew. And if you want to know how to say it in Spanish, it's Yo limpio el dormitorio.
That's what? That's Spanish. Okay.
And I read a book. It's called 5 Ways to Clean Your Room. It just really helped me to understand, like, what you said. And it was really life-changing. It was awesome. And I had friends from my small group over. It was so good. We talked about, like, the importance of a clean room and, like, what it's like to have a clean room and, like, how you should have a clean room. It was so good. It was absolutely incredible. And Susie came over, you remember? Yeah. She came over and we like mapped it out on a sheet of paper on what my room would have been like when I did clean it. And it looked really good. Like everything was really precise.
Okay, well, keep up the good work.
Thanks. I love you. Keep holding me accountable.
Yeah.
Sometimes self-centeredness, a self-desire for the things that we want, truly keeps us from doing what the Lord wants. We can know all the right things. We can know how to say it in a foreign language. We can even know how to say it in the original Greek or original Hebrew, and yet it doesn't do us so much good. Philippians 2:21 talks about all the others, and this is what it says. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. Okay? All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. Self-centeredness. You know, where we want to do what we want to do. It is clear there were other believers besides just Timothy and Epaphroditus. Because verse 21 says all the others. It's clear that there were other Christians, but only Timothy and Epaphroditus were really picked out. They were described to care only for themselves and not for the matters of Christ. That's the brief description to them. All the others cared only for themselves and not for the matters of Christ. Now, because these were followers, of Christ, it is important that we recognize that they did not love the Lord with all of their being, with all of themselves. Isn't that obvious? Because they said, this passage of scripture says, they care only for themselves and not for the matters of Christ. Yes, they love the Lord, but they love themselves more. Okay? Now, they were not willing to give sacrificial loving service. They're not willing to do that. Why do you think they're not willing to do that? It interferes with their self-love. Okay? Understand this? Not willing to give sacrificial loving service to the Lord because it interferes with their self-love. I'd say this to you. Okay. You can have things that you love. You can have hobbies. You can have friendships that are important to you, but nothing and no one should be more important than Jesus Christ in your life. If you let them or those things interfere with your love for the Lord, you fit into this group of people. You understand? You fit into that girl saying, I know all about every word that you commanded me. Had a great group study on this, small group study. We even thought about how it would look if we even did this. Oh, it was so good. But then we do nothing about it. We'd be just like her, wouldn't we? You know, the shame of it all is sometimes, this is C, you can get associated with Christ only when it's convenient. You associate with him, you identify with him only when it's convenient. What if the Lord did that for you? He'd associate with you, identify with you only when it was convenient for him. Wouldn't we be in bad shape? Then, because of their casual commitment, A, they were not considered to be useful like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Got passed by. Paul couldn't use them in the work of the ministry. Not like Epaphroditus and Timothy, because they were too self-centered. You know, sometimes, and this happens in all churches, churches will look for leadership to lead certain things. But the list gets pretty small many times because people can't be depended on. Some can say, yeah, I'll do that. And then when the time comes for it to be completed, it hasn't even begun. When people become unreliable, they can't be used. Can't be used. So these, all the others, were not considered for the ministry that Timothy and Epaphroditus were called to. The sad part about it is, they're mentioned, but they're not detailed out. They mention, but not detailed out. Timothy and Epaphroditus, you find some details there. Why they were so useful in God's hands. So these people become like, all the others become like just a passing comment. Not all that important. You know, the reason I believe that, and this is Steve speaking, this is not the Word of God speaking. The reason I believe that they become only a passing comment rather than a detailed comment is because if Paul were to detail them, it would look really bad on them. Really look bad for them. So rather than crucifying them, Paul just says, this was not right, and he moves on. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the Lord will do the same because he wants to leave open the door for you to return. Any one of these other people could be restored into full service with the Lord if they would say, Lord, please forgive me. Use my life for your glory. So rather than running them down, he mentions their failure, leaving open the door for them to come back in. Now, I want to say this to you. You can say, well, my life is just so insignificant. I can't be used. I got so many difficulties all around me. Once those difficulties get taken care of, then I can serve the Lord. You can say, this is the hindrance for me serving the Lord, or that is the hindrance. But dear people, God can use your hindrances for his glory if you let him. You got to give your whole life to him. Not just the parts that, God, this is the part I've cleaned up and now I can give that to you. You can't clean it up good enough for his service. You got to let him clean it up. I want you to know that God loves you even in spite of the challenges that surround you. I don't think anything can be more challenging than the death of a loved one and maybe the suffering that goes on before that death. Take a look at Jasmine's story.
My name is Jasmine Tell, and I have six siblings with disabilities. My oldest sister was born with spina bifida, and because of her, my parents decided to begin adopting children with special needs. They adopted my brother Joey, and he was born with the birth defect spina bifida. In 2008, we came to family retreat with him, and he absolutely loved it. It was the most amazing experience for him. Joey had this really awesome STM, short-term missionary, assigned to him, whose name was Clay, and he just really had an awesome time with Joey and really blessed Joey's time here at family retreat. Joey felt like an incredible star the whole week, and everybody just commented on his amazing smile and how much fun he was having. After family retreat, Joey had a semi-routine dental surgery done, and we didn't realize it, but during that surgery, his esophagus was punctured and fluid ended up leaking into his chest cavity. He was in the hospital for about 6 weeks, just had a really, really difficult hospitalization, and yet he just stayed really upbeat the whole time. And throughout that, I mean, my family, because of my siblings with disability, they had spent a lot of time in hospitals over the years and really had very little support during those times. You know, we never got cards, we never had people check in, and during Joey's hospitalization, he must have gotten mail every single day from people who had been at family retreat. And by the time he was released from the hospital, his entire hospital room was covered in cards and pictures and just gifts from people that he had met at family retreat. Joey got to come home for 6 days. And on the sixth day, we found him unconscious in his room. And he was pronounced dead at the hospital because he had gone into septic shock. When something like that happens, that's when you really see the face of God. And I saw God during those weeks that followed. They were horrible and yet beautiful. Primarily because of the people that had become our family through Johnny and Friends and a family retreat. We had people drive 6 hours to be with our family. We had people fly to be with our family.
And we had cards and phone calls. And so much love that carried us through that. And I knew pretty soon, I think within a week after Joey's death, that God wanted me to take his wheelchair and take it to Thailand on a Wheels for the World distribution. Wheels for the World takes wheelchairs and refurbishes them in prisons and then distributes them in different countries. And I had been on several of their trips already. And we loaded up, and I took that wheelchair with all my preconceived notions of who it should go to. And the days just kept passing. And I was just going, okay, God, you know, the trip's almost over, and this wheelchair hasn't been given away. I'm going to have to take this back to America. And the second to the last day, one of my teammates came up and said, I think we have the person that's going to take your brother's chair. And I walked over, and I saw Somphong, who was a very petite, 31-year-old Thai woman affected by polio. And as soon as I saw her, I knew she was going to have Joey's wheelchair because she had the exact same smile and light in her eyes that Joey had had. And as I sat there, I got to be there as she prayed and accepted Christ as her Savior because of what she saw in God bringing her this wheelchair. Because of that trip, the next year, I decided that I had to go back to Thailand. And I signed up and I went. And I met this guy. And he was passionate about disability ministry, passionate about all the same things I was. And we started corresponding. He came to the United States and we spent a lot of time together. He came to family retreat and got to see my world in America. And we got married. And the day after we got married, we flew to Thailand and began working with a disability ministry that partners with Johnny and Friends. We have a little baby girl. And my husband's name is Joey. And I can't thank Johnny and Friends enough for how they have changed my life, been there for me, and all that they've done.
Sometimes we get to the point of feeling a lot of discouragement, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and it's really easy at times like that to begin to complain about our Lord. Let me say this to you. Try your best not to complain about to the Lord about the Lord until the journey is ended. You don't know what he's going to do until the journey's done. Like this girl, Jasmine, once Joey died, she and her family could have thrown themselves into a fit over the doctor puncturing his esophagus. Did they mention anything about that? They mentioned about the love that was showered down upon them, moved them to the point of a loving action to go to Thailand to give away that wheelchair. How did the journey end for her? You know, sometimes we criticize the Lord too early because we don't see the end. And so, dear people, a servant of the Lord loves him, obeys him until the end. Until the end. Just like we're going to be looking at those in a couple of weeks who are persecuted all over the world. They have every right, those persecuted Christians, to say, God, how could you do this? But they love him, and they're not going to criticize him until the end. A servant of the Lord is faithful until the end. Timothy, Epaphroditus were faithful until the end. You and I are called to be faithful unto the end. A servant of Christ. You know what servant really means? You and I don't like this term, but it means a slave. One who has no rights except the rights that the master gives. Oh, the rights that my master gives me are phenomenal. It is a privilege to be a servant of the Lord. It's a privilege for you to be a servant of the Lord. If you're not a servant of the Lord, try him. He will always prove himself to be worthy. And as he proves himself to be worthy, dear people, he makes you worthy. He's a great God, a wonderful God, one that we can give our lives to. I want to encourage you to give your lives as faithful servants to the end. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. Lord, your love and your grace for us are truly magnificent, and we thank you. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a privilege to love and to serve you. Lord, it doesn't matter what you call us to do. It can seem so lowly, so unattractive. And Lord, it can even be repulsive. But Lord, to serve you in even the most repulsive way is a privilege, Lord. For Lord, everything that we do in service to you counts for you. And Lord, it brings joy and honor to you. And that's what we want our lives to do. So Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this privilege. And Father, as we come to this time of giving of our offerings to you, we ask that you would bless this offering, that it will be used for your kingdom's glory. We pray that you bless the giver, Lord, that you would provide for their every needs. And Father, we pray that all that we do would bring glory and honor unto you. So Father, as the offering plates are passed, the monetary gifts that we give are but a small portion of what you really desire. For Father, you really desire that we place our lives in the offering, Lord, as an offering to you. So Lord, I pray that each one of us might consider giving our lives to you this morning. May you be honored. May you be glorified. May this bring joy to you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.